So now that I have the headset, this is so that we can win over the red pillars. And it'll be wonderful. Okay, so.
Yeah, you need that in like a can of like Monster.
I don't think they sell that here, even though you can find it on like every motorbike. I don't understand why that is.
That's a good point.
It's weird. Okay. So, welcome to Two Ladies in the Kingdom with Emma and Sylvie, the two ladies in the kingdom. quick shout out to the Low Blow, which is the female groin guard that Emma and I both use. And I was watching a video of my WMC title fight with Mary, and there's a part where she knees me in the groin and like lifts me off of the ground, and I was like, that's why you wear a Low Blow.
I actually have mine right here by complete coincidence, actually.
That's perfect. It's in the bag though, Emma.
Oh, I apologize. I do keep it in the bag. There you go.
That's very polite of you.
But I don't have the new fancy version that you have that has like the lining on the outside.
Why don't you put the lining on?
I don't have it.
You don't have it. I have one. I'll give you one when I see you. I never see you.
That's true.
We'll have to figure out a way to see each other for the handoff. It's like a drug deal for our groin guards or something.
Yeah, I have the older version that doesn't have that, but it's still good.
Still good. Okay, so this morning Emma and I tried to start this, and it didn't go because I had to go get my fancy headset. But in the time that has passed since we were talking today, and now TIE Fight has actually happened. So TIE Fight Samoy was the first time that women have been featured on a TIE Fight show. And I remember Juliana Rosa saying that she had spoken to the people of TIE Fight, and they said that they weren't going to have females ever. And then she got to fight for them today. So, Emma, what's your take on the female fights on TIE Fight?
When it first came about, it was you who first told me months and months and months ago that they were eventually going to have women's fights. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I guess it should be really cool, but I'm really underwhelmed by it. In my opinion, it might as well not be happening at all. Like, I was just checking on the TIE Fight Facebook page right now. They're posting all the results of all the other fights with no mention of the female fights. They're not on the poster. They, like, haven't even mentioned them at all. They weren't being televised. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't want to say that it's nothing, because obviously it's not nothing. It is a step in a direction. I just, I guess, am not legitimately excited by it, and so it's hard for me to kind of force excitement about it, because I don't feel like it makes a huge difference. But maybe the fights were for the people who were there and could actually see them. Maybe there's something that they're going to want to see again, and it will progress in that direction, which would be nice.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I probably just sound like a complete spoiled brat, but, like, I don't know. It's, like I said, it's not that impressive to me. They're not promoting it at all. I don't know if they're just putting them on as a novelty, or if they have any, like, intention to promote them further and put them on the main card or what.
Yeah. I do like that the, with the two...
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing.
With the two Thai women that they have fighting, there's the potential for them to start promoting those women. For people who are not super familiar with Thai Fight, it promotes Thai fighters. Thai Fight. So often they're matched against Westerners in not the greatest matchups, but they create really spectacular fights. And without having seen either of those fights, because nobody sees them unless they're in the audience, Maybe they'll be promoting these women that are at surprisingly high weights for Thai women, actually 58 and 67.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so that part's kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully there'll be more of it.
Yeah, but what about Angel Fight, which we have so many wonderful things to say about?
Oh, I have lots of opinions about that, but. So when did the first round happen? Was that, like, last month?
I thought it was this month. I thought it was April.
You're right. It was. We're at the end of April now. Yeah, and the only fights that got televised on that show were, like, the first three or four, which were all, in my opinion, pretty terrible matchups.
Mm.
None of them were exciting at all. Although the matchups at the end of the second round actually seemed pretty good, but the first round was not exciting at all.
We watched online, because we don't get the channel that was carrying it, so I was absolutely relieved that Chomini's fight made it onto the broadcast, even though they had that incredibly long intro that made us think that we were only gonna see like two fights.
Yeah, for some reason fight shows in Thailand, like on TV, they always have like 20 to 30 minutes of speeches at the beginning by like people that nobody gives a fuck about. Nobody gives a fuck, and they like talk for like 30 minutes, and then that one lady, I swear she said "May the Force be with you" in her speech. I have no idea what else she said, but that really caught my attention.
Emma and I were texting to each other when this was going on, and Emma was like, did she just actually say, "May the Force be with you"?
She did.
It was very funny. Yeah, so the thing about Muay Thai Angels is that it's one of probably the biggest produced, most expensive, most money awarded promotions for female fighters, which is should on its surface be really exciting, and Chomini being the first winner, that was really exciting at the time, but they seem to have gone further in the direction of what was kind of uncomfortable about it to begin with, which was this kind of fully made up kind of ogling of female fighters. And I think that my difficulty in watching it was not even necessarily the overall quality of fighters, but like you said, the matchups were so bad. When I talked to Stefan Fox, they had worked with him a little bit or gotten some kind of work with him because they used a lot of his IFMA fighters. And he said that initially they had given them permission to use their logo or their name or something. And then when he saw that it was going to be this like full makeup thing, he had them pull their name. He didn't want that association.
That's very interesting.
It is, because the IFMA works really hard for gender equality. But he said that he had forced them to do an actual random draw for the matchups.
As in they weren't going to do that originally?
Yeah, like maybe they wanted to, you know, kind of put them together to make sure that they got the people that they wanted for the next round or whatever the thing is. Whoever got Lucy Payne was going to have a really hard time because she's like 6 feet tall.
It ended up being the shortest person out of all of the fighters who was coming up several weight classes anyway.
Yeah, and very small. She's Fanny is very small for this competition. But I think that because it was a random draw and because literally every match was so bad, that goes to show who they pulled into the competition to begin with. And I know that they overlooked really good fighters in that weight class for the purpose of their promotions. And I don't know, I would love to see Pet Dapi on a promotion like that, but at the same time, I know that they only have two Thai fighters, and then they had two Chinese, and then everyone else is from everywhere else, right? So
yeah, I mean, originally Sao Singh was going to be in it as well.
Really?
Yeah, it was Nam Dan, Chomini, and Sao Singh who were going to be in it. Because at that time, when it was all coming together, was when I was working for them, and my whole role was to recruit the fighters. They sent me out to recruit all of these girls. But in the end, because it was so poorly organized, it got pushed back two or three times, I think. And a lot of the fighters ended up having to drop out, and I think that's how they ended up getting some of these other girls in who were in these kind of shitty matchups in the first round. Because they had to pull people in at the last minute who weren't in the weight class. And
Yeah.
So I was saying she was going to be there originally. I don't know what happened with that, but well, she's
on the national team, so maybe she couldn't do it because she had to go do the Belarus IFMA that she's leaving for in a couple of days. I would love to have seen her fight on TV like that, although I can't think of it also not being a really shitty matchup if she had been in any of this first round or whatever. For me, the most painful part, maybe just as a clinch fighter, was seeing how women in general around the world don't really know how to clinch. So someone just being able to grab the head made it a blowout, which should not be the case. Like, the disparity in knowing one thing versus literally knowing nothing. Like, there was a Chinese girl who had a really beautiful right cross, but that was literally her only move.
With Sophia Olofsson, right?
Yeah, that was difficult to watch.
But
this next round, as you said, does look more exciting. I think that... oh, man, I am completely forgetting her name. The woman from Australia and South Africa?
Yolanda Smith.
Yolanda. How do I not remember Yolanda's name? I think Yolanda's going to be really difficult for most people because of her body punches. So no matter who she's facing, and she is facing Nam Dan right away, I think that's going to be that's going to bring her pretty far. So we'll see whether Nam Dan's knees can block that.
Yeah, that actually will be a good fight. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Mm. I'm really excited. You weren't as excited.
I mean, I'm
excited about the Japanese girl. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she was cool.
Yeah.
I'm hoping with the next show that all of the fights will make it to TV this time.
Well, there are fewer of them, so hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the last one, because we said there was so much like bullshit in the lead up and they had only time for a few fights, I think they kind of rushed Chomini to get ready. Like, okay, you have to go on now because it's the last fight. It's going to be on TV, and then we didn't get to see any of the other ones. And they haven't released any video of the other fights that didn't make it to TV, which really sucks.
That's really frustrating to me, because how do you promote fighters if you can't watch them fight? Like, their sexy photos are not that great, so it's not enough to promote them.
They were something else, those photos. They were kind of uncomfortable.
So I was a little bit bummed out. This doesn't fully have to do with Muay Thai Angels, but it does a little bit, and it transitions a little bit to the topic of the IFMAs. But the power couple of Muay Thai is Loma and Chomini, and it appears that they've broken up, I hope temporarily. But it made me really sad to see. I was like stalking their Facebook pages and checking both of them to make sure that both of them said single and all this stuff. But I'm sure it's difficult. Neither of them fight a whole lot. Loma is on the national team, so she's really fighting almost exclusively internationally. And then Chomini is on this like complete promotion circuit for Angels, and they're all these like fully made up kind of sexy photo shoots all the time. And I don't know whether that was a catalyst in any way, but given the like ultimate tragedy of Tom D relationships being that the D kind of moves on at some point, it feels really shitty to me personally. It's not about me, but it makes me really sad. It's about me, Emma. I'm upset that they broke up.
That's funny. Well, you're just gonna have to keep stalking and see what comes out.
Yeah. But so the Thai team is leaving for Belarus really soon. And they have three women on their team. They have Sao Singh, who you said was going to be in Angels and wasn't. She's at 57. Loma is at 48 this year. She usually fights at 45, but they got rid of that weight category for this time around. So I think that's her walk-around weight, more or less. And then it was going to be Loma Ni at 51. She had actually already qualified. And you can't switch people out when they've qualified. So her not being able to go means that the girl who replaced her, Nong Peng, has to qualify in this fight in Belarus to qualify for Worlds, which is the next thing. So actually all three of these women have to qualify for Worlds, which is going to be, I think, in June or July. They have to win gold in this in order to qualify. So I don't know what Lomani's fight was that qualified her prior. But what's kind of incredible to me is that I follow female Muay Thai pretty closely. And I've seen Nong Peng's name before, but totally brushed her off because I never saw her in reference to anything else. So when I looked her up today, she has 174 fights 3 years ago with only one defeat. And so I asked the guy who writes about female Muay Thai in Muay Siam, because he would know, he knows everybody, and he confirmed that she has a record like that. And he's like, oh, well, she lost one more time because she lost to Loma. And I'm like, 2 out of 200 fights? Like, are you kidding me?
How the fuck do we not know who she is? I don't get it.
I don't know. She's from Surin, so she fights in Asan a lot, but I don't know why she's not on the national team prior to this. Like, if she can beat Lomani, why is she not on the team? It's crazy.
Yeah. have to do some digging about her.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But so hopefully she'll qualify in this round to be able to go to Worlds. But if she's that undefeated, I can't imagine that she doesn't have international experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, with that record, it seems likely she'll get there.
Yeah. Then she'll have, like, 3 losses or something. Crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I'm trying to scroll on this computer with this mouse that didn't work at all. It's weird. The headphones didn't make me smarter, Emma. I don't understand.
That's not how they work, Zoe.
Do you know, I think you know more than I do, about the Thai lady fight or Thai fight lady? You said it's not happening.
I know. That was just my assumption that it's not happening because I have heard nothing about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I don't know if there's a lot to say about that.
Yeah, because I don't know anything about it. Okay. Yeah, well, Teresa was originally going to be in it, wasn't she?
Yeah, so was Namdan, I think. But they wanted to start at the same time that Angels was supposed to happen, and then it kind of didn't happen.
Makes no sense at all.
Yeah, so it's just to clarify for listeners, it has nothing to do with Thai Fight, but they call it Thai Fight Lady. And it's supposed to be like a tournament, kind of like Thai Fight, just in that it's 3 rounds, and they're trying to do a little bit of international stuff. But they wanted to introduce belts for each weight class, and so they're trying to get like a pool of fighters for each weight class, and incidentally, Teresa and Namdan, I think, would be in the same weight class. But it's one of these things where, like, female-only promotions do happen, and there's, like, 1 or 2 very familiar promoters who are putting these things together, but the disorganization is so strong that they will just up and vanish.
Yeah.
Because this thing just kind of doesn't exist now, so maybe it'll happen.
Yeah, later. I don't know if it may be... I mean, I know the trouble with Muay Thai Angels for so long is they had trouble getting sponsors.
Right, but that's another
and
reason.
Isn't that why Teresa dropped out?
It was supposed to go to China and she couldn't do it?
Yeah, because what they had told me is that they couldn't get any sponsorship in Thailand, so they had to do it in China. And then Teresa was like, oh, I can't take part because it's happening in China. And then they were like, just kidding, it's in Bangkok anyway. And she'd already dropped out. And yeah, so I don't know if she has any fights coming up, but
yeah,
I'd be pissed if I was her.
Even for the next round of Angels, which is not scheduled yet, like they don't have a hard date. When I was talking to, they do have a date? Oh, Kevin says it's supposed to be on the 8th of May, which is coming up pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
Emma
hasn't
heard of that.
I didn't know that.
But it's difficult to bring women from all over the world each time for visas and paying for that stuff and all of that stuff. Like Natalie Morgan was telling me that when they decided to do it in China, it completely screwed up the visa that she currently had for Thailand. And so she had to go home, and then now it's in Bangkok anyway. So it's like, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's going to take a lot of money.
Yeah. You were saying that Christy was just fighting in China.
Yeah, so she had 1 fight in China. It wasn't a tournament or anything.
Okay. She's an interesting person in female Muay Thai because she started so young and then she became a mother and came back, yeah? She has 2 kids?
I think so, yes.
Wow. There's an American woman, Jill, who is just coming back to her first fight, I think tonight, actually, Jill Guido. And she has 1 kid. So she was out for, I guess, like 3 or 4 years, and she's just coming back. And I don't know how women do that. It's so hard to come back and your body changes. And like Seth Singh coming back after having a baby, and it's amazing.
I was just going to say, Sal Singh came back really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, within a year, she was fighting again.
I think winter was 8 months when she came back to Deseret Gym already. Which,
That's crazy.
Ajahn Surat doesn't fuck around. That guy is really hardcore. So she was not, like, easing back into it. She was going really hard.
Wow. She's awesome.
She is awesome. I wanted to mention that the Taipei Stadium up in Chiang Mai has a website where you can watch their fights every night. They start at 9 p.m. Thai time, and it's a weird website a little bit. It's livebox.me, and then you have to, like, go up into the player and hit this little orange button on the right to make it go. But the reason this is interesting for us is that Taipei always has two female fights on every card. There's usually seven fights, and two of them are female fights, which is really cool. So you can watch female Muay Thai live from Thailand every night. And there's a guy out of Lana Muay Thai, he's a German fellow, Sebastian, who started a project called Faces of Muay Thai, which is on Instagram, and he takes portraits of the fighters after their fights and kind of puts a little description of what he likes about how they fight or who they are and that kind of thing. And he does a really good job when he's talking about the women. You can tell that he's actually a fan of their fighting styles and who some of these women are. So I'm excited about that. I wrote a blog post about it, but being able to watch female Muay Thai.
I didn't know about this Instagram account until you wrote that blog post.
Yeah, I didn't know about it until like 4 days before we wrote that blog post. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I knew that they were like live streaming the fights, but I didn't realize that they had female Muay Thai every night. Otherwise, I actually would have paid more attention to it. Usually just kind of scroll past it if I see dudes fighting and I'm like, oh, I'll watch it for a minute, and then if it doesn't excite me, I'll just keep going.
Yeah, you're like, not into the blind boxers tonight, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Just not doing it for me.
Petji Jha just fought up in Mahasarakham. She fought against this girl named Champu, who's actually trying to get on the Thai national team eventually.
You fought her, right? You fought Champu?
I did fight her. It's actually a horrible matchup for Petji Jha. I don't know who made that fight, and usually she doesn't. Petji Jha does not fight people without, like, a significant side bet, usually, so I don't know who
this
put
one
up.
This 100,000 baht, right?
I didn't see that, but if that's what you saw, probably. But when I fought Champu, she could not clinch with me, and I knocked her out in, like, the third or fourth round, and Petji Jha is in a very, very strong clincher, so to match her up with this girl, even though I'm sure there was a slight weight disparity, that's not a good match. But so Petji Jha won, obviously.
Of course.
But since she moved over to Venom, she's actually been fighting fairly frequently, like once every 2 months.
Is she at that gym full-time now?
I don't know how full-time it is. They might be training back at Omikun in the mornings or something like that, but both she and her brother, Mawin, have moved over to Venom for afternoon trainings. And I think that's really, really good for both of them because they kind of were just each other, and then people would cycle mm-hmm. through the gym, but they're never very good, the people who come through, because they're kind of beginners or they're just very small. And so I think that Mawin kind of got stagnant because he pretty much only had Petji Jha or whatever boy was there who couldn't really challenge him, and so he was kind of stuck. And he went to Bangkok for a little while, and then he got released out of that contract and came home. And then I think it's really, really good for Petji Jha to have exposure to more people to train with. But in the training videos I've seen of her, it looks like she's kind of lost confidence in herself a little bit, maybe from being kind of playing with people who weren't challenging her for a really long time. But she's obviously doing really well in her fights when she is fighting. I wanted to go into her two belts. For people who don't know, Petji Jha now has two world title belts. The unfortunate thing about this is that female world title belts are bullshit.
Same.
It's a little frustrating for Emma and me to be talking about female Muay Thai in such a negative tone all the time, but it's being unsatisfied with the bullshit. It's not that we think female Muay Thai sucks, it's that this is totally fucking unacceptable, and so you kind of have to talk about it as it really is.
Yeah.
So she won a WMC 100-pound, 45-kilogram title against Pen Pet Sor Tian Chai in July, so like last year. Didn't you see that fight? Were you there?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay. We both
saw
that.
There was a live stream, I think.
Yeah. So we saw that fight and we were a little bit, I don't know, it didn't seem like a crazy blowout the way that it was kind of presented. But so Petji Jha became WMC title through that fight. And then the strange bit is she fought against this girl, Petnari, who's actually really amazing. She knocked out Lomani in round 5 of their fight at like 51, 52 kilos. So she's bigger than Pejija. She's really strong. She fought Nong Stamp, who I just fought and lost to twice and beat her very easily in both of those fights. So she and Pejija fought on TV for this WPMF title at 105 pounds, which is 47.7 kilos, but neither of them weighed that. So Petnari somehow was able to weigh in at 49 for a 47-kilo title.
The belt was at one weight, and each of the fighters were a different weight. Yeah. None of it makes sense.
So they were on either side of that weight, which on Pejija's end, that's fine, because she weighed less than that. So that's fine. You can fight for a title that you don't meet. But Petnari didn't drop down to the weight that she was supposed to be at for the title, which I've actually seen Tanan Chinook do as well, which is fucking weird. But it was the same promoter, incidentally, so I guess they have a thing with WPMF.
Funny.
The reason this title is so frustrating is that the title is not vacant. The WPMF 47.7 kilo, 105 pound title belongs to this Japanese fighter named Haru Tajima. She's a teacher in Japan. I think she's like my age. And so when she won that belt, it was kind of her retirement fight, but she never announced that she was retiring. She never was like, I'm not going to fight anymore after this. She won it off of Duong Dao Noi, who's a very good fighter, and actually just went to Japan and smashed her opponent in a 3-round no-elbows fight, which is kind of cool because Duong Dao Noi throws awesome elbows, so she didn't throw them in this fight.
Yeah, she got the shit out of you.
Oh my god, she just fucking, like, bloodied my face up. So she won this title. Duong Dao Noi won the title on Nikonam Tom Day, which is March 17th, 2 years ago. She held that title for about 1 month, unfortunately, before she went to Japan and lost that title to Haru. And then Haru was never asked to defend the belt, but it's been maybe 2 years. And instead of telling her you have to defend this belt or letting her know at all that it was being fought for by two other fighters, they just had two other fighters fight for it. And Kevin and I actually have a connection in Japan, and so we asked about that, and they let Haru know. They asked her, and she was like, what? So
what the fuck?
Her response to the title that she holds basically just being given to two other fighters to fight for kind of lit a fire under her ass, and apparently she's like starting back up training to try to come defend it, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
The exact same thing happened to Kaylee Reese. She had a title that they didn't tell her someone else is fighting for this. They just got two other fighters to fight for it, and Kaylee's response was, this is some bullshit, and she actually retired and then came back. That was WMC. So both of the titles for women, WMC and WPMF, that Jija holds are basically like, we just put the title wherever we want it.
Like, a similar thing happened to Lucy Payne.
Sorry, what?
Didn't a similar thing happen to Lucy Payne?
I didn't hear about that. I don't follow her at all. So do you know what title it was?
I think it was WMC, but I can't remember, but I do remember seeing, it was like a local news website that had posted about how she hadn't been asked to defend a belt, but it had been, she'd kind of been stripped of it anyway. Mm.
Yeah, and then this same promoter, who put together the fight for Petnari and Pejija, he had someone from England, Lisa Brearley, she fought Titcha for her 51-kilo title with, like, a two-week notice. Like, there's no reason why Lisa should be fighting for that title other than that it was offered to her. But that's nothing wrong with Lisa. She didn't do anything wrong. But just looking at, like, there is no ranking of, like, who should be fighting next or who's number one ranked. They never change these things. Haru is still listed as the title holder of this belt that now Jija owns. It's, like, it's a mess. Emma.
Yeah, just we'll pick whoever's around at the time, and then you can fight for it.
Yeah. Loma fought Petnari and beat her up in Isan for like a 200,000 baht side bet or something. I only ever saw like a short clip of it. They didn't put much up, but she had this fantastic turn and throw on the ground because Loma's scary as shit when she's just throwing people around. So the another thing about ridiculous titles is that Saya Ito, Japanese Muay Thai genius is what they call her, she beat Little Tiger, who held the WPMF 100-pound title for a long time. Like, Little Tiger had that belt forever. And Saya Ito won it off of her, and they gave Little Tiger an immediate title shot again to get it back, and Saya Ito beat her again better and with a broken foot. And so they basically just had another fight set up between Saya Ito and Little Tiger again to just keep giving Little Tiger chances to win the belt back. And Saya Ito, badass of all badasses, was like, I don't see a point in fighting her again for a third time. And she just vacated the belt. She was like, I can't fight for it because my foot's broken. And it makes no sense for me to just keep fighting the same girl who I took it from over and over again to give her a chance to finally, like, maybe get it back.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
So, she...
So they just really want Little Tiger to have that belt.
I think Little Tiger might have it again, because she fought someone else for it, because Saya Ito vacated, so they just let her fight for someone else with it. It's so ridiculous. But Saya is getting ready to fight again. She's had some time off because of her broken foot, and they're bringing in a Thai girl to fight her in July or something. But she had this like promo spot on TV that I got to see and had someone translate for me because I don't speak Japanese. But I'm in it, which was kind of crazy. Saya Ito and I fought for the on the Queen's birthday for the Queen's Cup in Bangkok. 2014, so 3 years ago. And Emma knows this because Emma helped get that fight for me through Master Donnie.
That's true.
It's awesome.
And I was there.
You were there. And it was kind of an amazing moment for me because I don't get to fight huge names very often. I just fight a lot. And so beating her was like a really big moment for me in terms of like the kind of non-questioning name of my opponent. Like, people knew who my opponent was, and it was kind of like, she's amazing and this phenom and all of this stuff. And for Saya Ito, that was a defining moment because losing to me was pretty dramatic. She didn't know how to clinch at all, and the clip they use in the TV spot is me like throwing her on the ground and kneeing over her like I'm gonna hit her in the face. It looks really dramatic, and I was amazed that they chose that moment. But what she says is that she actually came to Thailand to train with me because it was such a intense loss for her. And then she had an 11-fight winning streak after training with me. And the reason that was kind of amazing to me is that I didn't know that she came specifically to train with me. I thought she actually came to train with Pet Ji Ja. And then...
And that just happened to be where you were.
Yeah, because I had actually just moved to Pattaya not long, like not even within a year, I think. And, they tried to set up a fight with me and a Japanese girl in Pattaya, and it seemed like that was Saya Ito, and I'd already beat her, and so the Japanese girl dropped out. And so I thought that she actually was trying to avoid me by training with me, like that she wouldn't have to fight me if she trained with me. So I didn't know that she came to learn with me, but it makes me really excited, one, that that's something that she thought to do and did do, but two, we worked together a lot in the clinch. Actually, twice she came to Thailand when I was still at Omikun, and we worked together. And the second time she came, they were actually really mean to her at that gym, and they wouldn't let her clinch. And so she kind of only clinched with me the second time she came out, and I tried to, like, show her a few things. I wasn't the clincher that I am now, so I didn't have, like, a ton of tricks, but just, like, kind of small things. And to have her see that as that she came and trained with me and learned something and that it made a big difference in her career feels fucking awesome to me. Especially because I'm working with these girls in Mae Rim, like clinching with Guang Tong, who's an opponent, a former opponent, and unfortunately a recent opponent of mine.
Yep.
That's fucking cool that you can work with your opponents and like grow together, because that's an ethic that I have, but for it to actually happen is...
And if that video hadn't come out and if you hadn't had someone on your page to, you know, kindly translate that for you, you would never know that's what happened.
No, not at all. I mean, I knew that she came and the fact of it that she trained with me, but I had no idea that she saw it as having that interpretation and having that purpose behind it. So,
and that catalyst for her having that massive winning streak afterwards. That's so cool.
Yeah, she's on fire, man. Like, I don't know. Saito's very, very cool. When I read this interview translated into English by this guy Charlie about that explained how she had vacated that title because they basically were only letting her fight Little Tiger over and over again. You can hear what a thoughtful and kind of self-confident fighter she is. And she's pretty young. Like, she's just graduating from high school and deciding how she's going to go into university or taking time off or that kind of thing. She's 17 or 18 now. But she's just like she's a very, very cool girl. So
she also got that title shot by calling Little Tiger out.
Yeah, this is cool. So she actually got that title shot to fight Little Tiger by going to a press conference where Little Tiger was being interviewed and basically forcing Little Tiger to see her. And she stood up and with a microphone, like, called her out. She's like, why don't you fight me? She's wearing her schoolgirl uniform. She's like, why don't you fight me?
That is so fucking cool.
Right? Like, I couldn't be that cool if I tried. She's awesome.
I wouldn't have that type of confidence now. And she was, what, like 15 at the time?
Yeah, maybe 16, maybe something like that. But, God.
That's crazy.
To know what you want and then go fucking destroy her too was like,
yeah,
it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And in Japan, where I'm sure Little Tiger's name alone is like, you don't,
yes,
you know, you have to force that situation to itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to restart this recorder as we transition. So, Emma, we've talked a few times on our podcast about your very, very long process of finding a gym after leaving your gym for very good reasons. And recently, I'm super excited because you've been training with Atachai, which I've actually only done once in a private session to review his gym. But seeing that you were going there made me really excited, and I actually want to hear all about your training there.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I've been to several gyms since I left mine. I've been kind of hopping around, and I've never really felt like, oh, you know, this is the place for me or whatever. You know, I've been at M&M for a while now, and I've been happy, but I kind of knew that it wasn't the place that I was going to be long term. So when last week or whatever it was that Kevin was like, well, we think that, you know, Adachai's gym would be a good place for you, and it's not too far away. So I went to check it out, and it turns out I fucking love it. I love it. That's where I'm going to be now. Like, I can tell.
That's so
I'm
going
to be there for a while. Yeah.
Are you the only
I was saying to Kevin, like, the other day, I was like, yeah, Eminence, but it doesn't really feel like home to me. And then I went and trained at Chai's gym twice, and I came back to my apartment and said to two, I was like, this gym does. This place does feel like home. And he was like, that's kind of weird because I don't feel that about gyms. He kind of just sees them as, like, it's just a place to train. Like, whereas, I mean, I guess, like, I don't know if I have this different, like, attachment. Like, I had with my old gym, it felt like a home to me. I mean, I did literally live there. I don't know, I couldn't see myself being at a gym long term without having that kind of feeling. But I can see myself being at a tight gym for a while. It's so awesome. Like, how did you feel training with him in that one private session?
I actually didn't really know what to expect because I wasn't familiar with who Atachai was very much prior to going. I was actually invited by a woman who works for him. And so we looked him up and we looked at some of his fights. And when you look at how he fights, there's this like, holy shit, like you can see what he is. But he's really well known for his femur style. He's very technical. He's very like, his timing is kind of amazing. And those are not really things you can teach. So I wasn't...
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure how that lesson was going to go, and then those also really are not my style, so it was, really sure how well I would pick up these things, but his personality, he's just so sweet. He's like a kid. There's like a youth to how sweet he is, but he's not immature.
Yeah.
And he spent so long, I think, training people in Singapore who are of all different levels that he has like this awareness of how he wants to bring out like when I first went there, I was like, I want you to teach me your style. Like, I don't want you to just put me through some kind of program. Like, teach me Atachai style. And he looked at me like I was crazy, and I can't tell whether that's because he's unaware of what his style is or whether it's like, well, obviously I'm going to teach you my style because it's me. Like, how do I not do that?
Yeah.
But he every single thing he showed me is teaching timing, which I didn't know you could teach. So it was, it's not my style, but it was really enjoyable. Like, the way he brings play into everything that he does makes him really fun to work with. And so I was actually really excited seeing photos of you sparring with him, because I didn't outright spar with him, but almost everything we worked on included that kind of playfulness, so that you're just kind of like feeling through the techniques.
Yeah, I was lucky because, I mean, I paid for a group session on my first day, but it was just me and him. So yeah. I literally got a private session. And I was really surprised that I turned up and they were like, oh, okay, go run. And he came running with me. I was like, you don't need to do that. And he was more than happy to. He went through everything with me. It was so cool. And then the next day, I said to the woman in the office, I was like, oh, can I come like a little earlier tomorrow? Is the gym going to be open? Because I want to run beforehand. And she's like, yeah. And then the next day I turn up, and I meant that I'm going to turn up by myself and go running beforehand. Turns out Adachi got out of bed early to come and meet me at like 7 a.m. and run with me then. I was like, that wasn't what I was asking for. But he's nice. So sweet.
Yeah.
He's really, really nice. I really enjoy training with him. Yeah. And the other trainers he has at the gym are really cool too.
Yeah, I didn't meet them. I saw them kind of peripherally because when I came for my private, they all said hello and were very nice, but then they just kind of like spread out because they didn't have anything to do. But they seemed like very comfortable in the space, which I really like. And I assume that you like went into the gym and met him there, or did he meet you outside at the front of that insane jungle walkway?
I walked down and met him at the actual gym. But yeah, the area that it's in is fucking crazy because it's off On Road, which is, it's just a fucking road in Bangkok, but then you go down the end and it's like a zoo. Every day that I've walked down that little walkway with all the greenery around it, I've seen like loads of monitor lizards scurrying around and stuff. Did you see any of those?
No, thank God I did not.
Oh, they were huge. But yeah, it's like, this is like little walkway along like to the gym, which has these funny little signs on the walkway, like, what do they say, like fake
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that,
and like you have to do 100
my favorite one is this, like, yeah, there's one that's next to a trash can that says don't drop litter or else hashtag death by Adachi. I don't know if it was him that came up with that, but I enjoyed it.
A girl from Singapore who must have trained with him at Evolve, when she saw that I was training with him and I was describing how he just like stings you everywhere, she said, we call that death by Adachi. So I guess when he's sparring with you and just kind of messing with you, that's death by Adachi.
Okay.
So it's like a sweet
another funny thing about training with him is that every round you do, he calls it round one. Every round he'll be like round, and then he'll wait for me to say it. I'm like, one, okay.
That's awesome.
And you were saying how like his style is really technical, but he likes, at least on the pads with me, I find that he wants me to do a lot of like jumping around and like fucking flying kicks and all that stuff, which is hard for me to do. But what I find really funny is that whenever he wants me to do a Superman punch, he goes super woman every time. He always hesitates.
I noticed that he made me do this like crazy jumping head kick thing that is like, I'm not a big person. It was not easy for me to like, he's not tall, but like getting up to his head was really hard. Yeah. But when you have to do something really ridiculous like that you're probably never going to do, it forces you to kind of relax and just like, you know, can't be stressed about the fact that you can't jump up and kick someone's head, because how can you fucking jump up and kick someone's head? Like, he can. But
yeah.
You're not, like, stressed about the fact that you can't do that. So it kind of weaves in this playful relaxation.
When he does it, it looks so cool, and I just, like, it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy training with him. Mm. Yeah, it's great. Hopefully you can come down and train there again, and we can train together.
Oh, I want to train with you again soon. It's been a really, really long time.
Yeah. I'm not going to try and figure out how long that's been.
Are you going to are you going to try to fight on his grand opening if that happens?
I haven't heard anything about that, but because Kevin told me it was on the 29th of May, which I actually have off work. So if that works out, I would love to fight on that, because I have not fought in a long time, and I'd be time to get back into it. I'd be comfortable with doing that next month.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. And hopefully we're not fighting each other, but that'd be cool if we could all be on it.
You never know.
I had the unfortunate chance of fighting someone who I really didn't want to fight because we're friends recently. I fought against Guangtong, even though I told the promoter that I don't want to fight this gym anymore. And he basically said he couldn't find a replacement. And so neither of us, like, when we showed up to the venue to fight, didn't know that we were still fighting each other because we had clinched each other the day before I had gone to her gym. And I fight people that I know pretty, I wouldn't say pretty often, but enough times that it's not totally unfamiliar with me. Like, I'm friendly with Fa Chang Rai. We'll, like, chat to each other before a fight or something, but we're not, like, buddies. So to actually fight someone who I am friendly with was a very weird experience recently, because it's not that you don't want to hit someone, like, you still go full power, but there's no, like, yeah, fuck you, I hit you at the end of it, like, the animosity is gone. So I don't know, like, there were times in the fight that she threw this amazing two Supermans at me, and I kind of looked at her and was like, those were good, like, in the fight, which was kind of fun. It's like sparring or something, but there's also this just, like, super discomfort of even if a fight doesn't matter that much, it feels shitty to lose, and to know that you're, like, causing that feeling in one of you is kind of, I don't know, it wasn't fun. So hopefully the promoters don't trick us into fighting each other again anytime soon.
But it's crazy that you literally trained with her the day before and then ended up fighting her.
Yeah, because he said that he was going to switch her out, and then he didn't. And then when I was at the venue, she just assumed I was fighting someone else. So she came up and was like, wait, Sylvie, who are you fighting? And, like, showed me the program. And I'm like, you. She's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Why were you at my gym yesterday if we're fighting each other? But those girls are very cool. They make me happy. And it was maybe especially weird because when we had worked together the day before, because we were both very sure we weren't fighting each other, I had, like, showed her how to get out of my lock and had a knee me in the face based on this turn that she was doing and stuff. So I was like, I wonder how fast she's going to pick up those things we worked on yesterday.
Is the day enough to learn to do that?
Totally.
So her gym is, like, an all-female gym, right?
Yeah, so the Petong Pong gym up in Mae Rim in Chiang Mai is all-female. They have a couple of boys who train there, and I think periodically one of them will fight, but they're really not part of the gym. They're totally, like, throwaway. But they all train themselves. Like, it's such a strong inversion of a male gym. Like, it's just like a male gym, but women. And just the, like, toughness that these women have and the support system that they have in each other is, like, so cool. I think that it changes opportunities for women in a really, really strong way just by the fact of it existing. So I love being there anytime I can stop in and kind of play with them. And Pet Li La is just getting better and better. She's, like, the phenom of the gym. She just turned 14 this April. And she's, like, 55, 56 kilos and fighting Furong, who are, like, 60 plus kilos sometimes.
And beating them.
Yeah. She's very cool. She's got this, like, seriousness about her, that is, I'm sure she will be world champion if she wants to. So it's pretty exciting just to see her in this, like, stage of rising up. I like her a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll end up fighting her.
Could be. Could be.
Because, I mean, you, like, your last few fights, I mean, you're always fighting people who are bigger than you most of the time. But didn't you recently fight someone who was literally 10 kilos bigger than you?
Yeah, so recently I've had people 10 kilos bigger than me, and then also I fought 3 times in 4 nights in Chiang Mai, and the last one was supposed to be Cherry, who I fought a few times before. She's bigger than me, but she just didn't come. And then it was supposed to be replaced with Tanan Chinook, also bigger than me, but I love fighting because she's such a good challenge, also didn't come. Uh-huh. So I ended up fighting a girl who Jess wasn't on my radar because she's smaller than me. Like, I don't pay attention to fighters smaller than me. She's the 43-kilo champion up in the north, but she's really tall, so I think she walks around at maybe, like, 46, 47, which is pretty close to my weight, but under. Like, I would guess she's 1 or 2 kilos lighter than me. It's been so long since I've fought someone smaller than me that it kind of freaked me out, and I'm so used to trying to move someone who's so much bigger than me that when I did the exact same move...
And she just flew.
Oh my god, Emma. It was like when Spider-Man becomes Spider-Man and he rips the handle off the door because he doesn't know, like, how to do it yet. It was just... The referee actually told me, he's like, chill out.
Yeah, I saw, because I was watching on the live stream, and I saw that you folded her over, like, really early into the fight in, like, the first round.
Yeah, I tripped her, and I thought that she would just go to the ground, because that's what people who weigh more than me do, but she did this, like, banana peel, like, in the air and then down kind of thing, and it was kind of an okay situation in that... Her trainer knows me. She's actually from the same gym as By Fern, who I've fought quite a few times. And so her trainer knew what she was up against. The promoter did not, like, trick her into fighting me. But as the Northern champion, basically the idea was, if she can beat me, she's really, really good. And if she can't, nobody is like, why could you not beat Sylvia?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's like, oh, you didn't beat the Hulk? What a loser. Like, nobody cares. And I actually told a friend of mine who's a fighter in Malaysia, she was worried about fighting someone who she didn't think was a correct match for her. And she's very early in her fight career, but I was telling her she was fighting someone who she thought was too good for her, potentially. People were telling her she shouldn't fight her. And I said, if you don't fight people who are better than you, eventually you're going to be fighting people who you're better than, and you haven't earned that. Like, if you don't fight up, then when you fight down... you're only hitting down. But if you fight up first and then you have these moments where it's like, that just wasn't a good match, you've earned that. Like, it's occasionally the match is in your favor and it's just not a great growing experience, but it's part of the entire thing. And it's been a really long time since I've had a bad matchup like that. So as much as it was not my favorite thing, and everyone in the comments is like, oh my god, this is amazing, and I'm like, oh my god, this is a shitty matchup. That's what this is. But I guess that's why people love watching, you know, I got back from Chiang Mai, and right after having these fights, I got a staph infection in my knee, which I've had staph before, but I've never had it on a joint before, so it was actually incredibly painful. Staph hurts anyway, but for some reason when it's on a joint, it kind of feels like you can't walk. It was really hard. So I was on these really heavy-duty antibiotics, and I had to cancel my fight against the Star, who I was really looking forward to fighting, because I've fought her twice before, and I've never won. The first time was very close, and we actually weighed the same. And then the second time, she was, like, 4 kilos bigger, and now she's, like, 10 kilos bigger. So it was getting a fight with her is kind of hard to convince my trainer to let me do, because she's so much bigger. But apparently her dad was talking a lot of shit since she fought with Angie at my gym. And so Pinu was like, how about you fight Sylvie?
Yeah.
As a way to shut her down. And unfortunately I had to pull out of that fight because of my infection. You can't fight people when you have staph because it's actually contagious.
It's disgusting.
It's super gross. Emma, when this thing drained, it was like, it was really gross. But so I had this weird period of being, like, not injured but kind of not able to train fully, because the doctor said that I couldn't go back to full training because the infection can get into your blood, blah, 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 all this stuff. So I got another fight just out of the blue when I was recovering. This promoter in Karat called me and asked if I could fight. So I took it because I was going to be finished by then. I was already healing up. And I didn't tell Pinu that I was going to go fight right away because I thought that he would not let me train fully. Like, he would make me stop or something. So I'm like, he won't let me spar if I tell him I'm fighting. The reason he won't let me spar if I tell him I'm fighting is exactly what happened. I was sparring with this kid who's smaller than me, who was going a little crazy, and he broke my nose the afternoon before my fight. So I went into this fight against a girl who everyone made seem like she was going to be way bigger than me, but she was maybe kind of average size for what I fight, like 52, 53. But, oh, man, Emma, fighting with a broken nose, like, you want to keep your guard up, but when someone just barely touches it, the rage you feel from the pain... It's intense, man. So I'm kind of dealing
with... But how many times have you broken your nose now?
I've broken it 4 times, including this time, and only once in a fight. It always breaks in training. And one kid broke it 2 times, so he's just kind of a dick. But, yeah, okay. So it was kind of a dramatic thing. The blood was, like, everywhere, and the dad of my trainer was trying to like move my nose around and very confused that it wouldn't move because it looked so awful, and I'm like, no, my nose isn't straight to begin with, it's just like more plastered to the side. So incidentally, on the way home from Chiang Mai, I stopped to train with Karahat, and he has this like brilliant plan to have me just go southpaw, to like just reverse everything, and it's super awkward and weird, but it kind of like, my guard is not great in southpaw, so I have to really work on that with my nose, but maybe it'll start nudging it in the other direction like, standing this way. And so I've been working on it a lot, and the day before, maybe yesterday, Pinu was like, this is ridiculous, you can't just switch stance, your guard sucks, you're gonna get hurt, blah blah blah. And so Kevin and I actually had to talk to him about it, and now he's like, when he heard that it was important to me, he got all in, and for 2 days, he's only let me go southpaw in our pad work. And what's kind of amazing about it, yeah, it's weird, because it's awkward as shit to, like, switch your stance. But because when I came to the gym in the first place, I wasn't a beginner, I've never gotten a whole lot of instruction, like, correction from Pinu. It's been, like, small things over the years, but basically him, like, hurting me into the things that he wants me to do, like he'll kick one side until I learn how to block and that kind of thing. But going completely southpaw, I look like a beginner. Like when I'm kicking the pads, I'm all awkward, and he has to like keep correcting my hands and stuff. And so I'm actually getting the version of Pinu that's like super corrective, and I've known him for over 3 years now, and it's just starting now, and it's actually like kind of incredible. It's like starting from this like baby step thing because I'm so awkward on this other side, and I feel like it's kind of a monumental moment in my relationship with my gym and my trainer for him to kind of be against what I'm doing, but then when he hears that it's meaningful, he dedicates himself to it, and in the process of paying so much attention to what I'm doing wrong and correcting those techniques, it's like he's reinvesting in me as a fighter, when I think that because I go and I fight everywhere else, he's kind of not been super part of that for a really long time, even though he has given me my blessing to go do that. So it's kind of an incredible moment for me at my gym. So as you're like coming to a new gym that finally feels like home, I'm home already, but I'm like, dad's paying attention to me for the first time in a long time. It's kind of cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, that must feel super awkward to be switching your stance like that.
It's
to learn all over again.
Yeah, what's really weird about it is that I'm not a kicker. Like, I hardly ever kick. But for some reason, when I switch my stance, my left kick comes out really easily.
Okay.
I have no idea why, but my left kick is actually very intuitive and strong from that position. So when I stand orthodox, I'm a clincher, and when I stand southpaw, I'm a kicker. That's very weird. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
unlocked new things.
Yeah, it's very weird to like find yourself off balance on things that should be really easy, and then you just switch to your regular stance and do it to see how it should work, and then you can switch back and be like, oh, that's the angle that's supposed to be on. So, Pinu was making fun of me this morning. He was like talking about how it's so hard to like eat with your left hand if you're right-handed. I can't even pick up a coffee cup with my left hand. I'm really, really right-handed. So it's interesting.
See, I actually am left-handed. I am left-handed, but I can't fight southpaw.
That you write with your left hand? You're like full left
hand? Yeah, I write. I only write with my left hand.
I didn't know this about you at all.
Yeah, the only thing I can do with my left hand is write. I can't throw a ball with it. I can't use a pair of scissors with it. I can't do anything. Even when I used to play drums when I was a teenager, and I couldn't play drums left-handed. What? It's weird that I do everything else right-handed.
My brother's kind of like that. He does all his delicate things with his left hand, like writing and eating, but then he'll throw a ball with his right hand, like power side. But I can't believe I didn't know that you're left-handed this entire time. It's the sign of the devil, Emma.
Yeah. So you'd think that maybe... yeah. You think that maybe if I kind of tried going southpaw, I'd have this epiphany and be like, wow, this is how it's supposed to be. No, it's terrible. I can't do it.
Maybe you could do delicate things if you went southpaw. You could, like, gently move someone.
Maybe then I'd finally be able to do those fucking flying kicks or whatever.
You should try it. Maybe
I'll try that.
Maybe you jump better that way. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm starting from the beginning all because I wasn't sparring and everything for so long. It's like I have to learn everything again.
Yeah, it comes back, though. It's good. I mean, When I've been seeing the photos that you're putting up, are you taking those as snapshots or are you pulling those out of video as like a screen grab?
Half and half. Some of them other people took for me at the gym, and some like I've just been setting up my phone in the ring to video the whole thing and then taking photos from it.
Your kick is incredibly consistent. Like your form on it is like carbon copy. Like you have a form on your kicks that you do not deviate from. It's kind of incredible.
It's weird. My right one is always like that. The left one is terrible, but I'll figure it out. But that being said, I am obviously choosing the best photos.
Have you always, not always, but have you frequently filmed and photographed yourself, or are you using that as kind of a way to gauge things now?
I'm just going to, I wasn't doing it all the time before, but I'm going to try and do it now all the time, yeah.
What do you find when you do it? Like what are you looking for, or what have you discovered out of it?
My boxing defense has gone completely out of the window. That's what I've discovered. But it's good that I know that my hands are down all of the time, so that's my main thing that I'm trying to work on, which is something you work on when you first start. Somehow I've kind of just lost it, but as you say, it'll come back.
Yeah
I think it's really good to be like videoing your training all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, previously, like, I never got photos and video because I never wanted to ask anyone else. You never want to like stop somebody else training to be like, can you take a video? But yeah, I've just been, I mean, especially with Adichie's gym, where there's not really anybody else there, so I can set my phone up, like, in the corner and know that nobody's going to, like, step on it or anything. It's fine.
Right.
So I can just video the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should invest in a little tripod or something.
Ooh. Yes.
When I was at Eminent Air last week, and I was doing some sparring, and I tried to put my phone on top of the corner. They have these kind of, like, wooden pillars at the corner, and I put it up there, which was dumb. I don't know why I did that. And then as soon as we started sparring, it just fell all the way down. Luckily, it fell onto the ring and onto the floor, and it was him. I felt like an idiot. I really need to get a stand for it. Otherwise, I am just going to break it eventually.
Yeah, they have those ones where the legs are bendy and you can kind of like wrap it around the rope or something.
How often? How often is like Kevin with you at training to like film you?
Recently he's been here almost all week because we were filming for Nakmoy Nation, but usually not at all. Like, it's been a really, really long time since he's come and filmed my training, and I think it was right when Facebook Live came out was when I was doing live feeds of my training, but it's been a while. I actually think it should be more frequent, but he works so much, and then there's the matter of me moving between gyms and all these different things, so it's kind of hard to coordinate.
Okay.
So, Emma, as part of the as part of our sign off, we usually talk about what podcasts or books or media we're consuming. So what are you doing?
Oh, I haven't been listening to too many podcasts recently. Actually, I got back into This American Life recently, but I only listen to the free ones. other than that, I haven't been listening to many podcasts. I've been working a lot, actually. I just took on an extra job. I've been doing some freelance writing to make some extra money, and I've had almost no free time at all, which means my blog is kind of, it's been dead for a little while, but it's all kind of to get me put up to be able to start training as much as I want to again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been working a lot. I don't have a whole lot of time to be doing extra shit. So what about you?
I was actually a really hard sell on this one called Last Podcast on the Left, which I listen to My Favorite Murder and they mention it. And so I tried listening to it, and it's actually kind of the male version of it, but the like hyper male version of My Favorite Murder. So in MFM, it's two women with like almost no actual facts about the murder, basically talking shit the whole time, which is hilarious. And then the guy version is like super fact and information and research based, but it's three guys who are complete nerds and kind of making very off color jokes. So it was a really hard sell, because for the longest time I was like, these guys are assholes. But when I went to Laos for my visa a few months ago, I listened to this one that was on manifestos, and they were covering that horrible Elliot guy in California who killed people because girls wouldn't date him.
That prick.
Yeah, that prick. So they imitated him. Like, they read some of his manifesto in this silly voice that's actually really similar to his actual voice. And it made me
laugh. Oh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah. It made me laugh so hard and actually kind of gave me this weird revelation into my own mental training, if that's not the craziest thing ever. And so I actually have become really obsessed with this podcast, and I listen to it on our long runs out in the rural roads. So while I'm chasing Pinu's older brother, who's insanely fast for a 46-year-old, I'm listening to three guys talking shit about murder. It's like,
I actually did listen to one episode of Last Podcast on the Left. I listened to the one they did on Eileen Wuornos.
Oh, that's new. I haven't listened to that one yet.
Yeah, it's a two-parter one. It was pretty good.
Mm. Yeah, they're Scientology / L. Ron Hubbard.
Have you listened to True Crime Garage?
No, I know you recommended that one before, but I actually never remember the name of it when I get on iTunes, so I always forget. I should just write it down somewhere. True Crime Garage. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been recommended to me a lot, but I haven't got into it yet.
So you just said you don't have any time, so I guess the answer to this is probably no. But are you not are you not doing mini marathon trainings?
I wasn't. I was actually looking at doing a half marathon next month. I haven't signed up for it though. There was meant to be a Bangkok like midnight marathon next month, but the prices were fucking ridiculous. They want people to pay like 1,500 baht, and I will not pay 1,500 baht to run, which I do every day anyway, free. But there was another one that was like 400. I was thinking of maybe do it.
Yeah, I think the ones that the boys do here, I think, are generally like 400 or 500 baht for registration. They're kind of, I think that's the average that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Usually do the charity ones, and I can only do ones that are like near the area, like where I live, because I always have to go to work straight afterwards. They're always on a Sunday morning, and I always have to be at work at like 30 on a Sunday, so I can only do the ones that are near me, which kind of limits me a little bit.
You are so badass that you run like a half marathon and then go to work. I just want to hurt people after I do a long run. Get away from me.
Well, now I'm trying to just kind of, now I just want to focus on fighting again. Like, for a while, it was like, okay, I'm going to do more, like, runs and stuff because I can't fight right now, but, yeah, now that I kind of have a chance, I get back into fighting and make that my focus.
I cannot wait for that to happen. I'm very excited for that also. So, no pressure, but I hope that happens. All right. Well, I think that is.
When are you next fighting?
Oh, I'm fighting. We're going up to Chiang Mai. I'm fighting on the 2nd and the 5th. And I really, really, really hope that I'm rematching Nang Hong. She's trying not to fight me, but I think that there's maybe a little bit of pressure from Pidang and from the stadium itself. She's been on a winning streak. She's been doing really, really well, so maybe she feels confident and will come back for it. But I owe her some stitches, so I want to rematch her.
And did you fight her last?
It was a few months ago. She I was ragdolling her, but she hit me with this front elbow and opened up a vein or like inside my forehead, so it wouldn't stop bleeding. And it was one of the rare times I had to actually go to a hospital for non-ringside stitches to get that done. And it was kind of funny because after the fight, she like took this photo for Muay Siam with her like pointing to her elbow about like, oh, I knocked her out with this elbow, and she pointed to the fucking wrong one. I'm like, that's the wrong elbow. Were you there? Yeah. What do you do?
Any elbow.
It was one of these. I don't know which one it was.
I didn't know it was the wrong one. That's funny.
Yeah.
So now you have to go get it back. So you're going up to Chiang Mai and you don't know if you're fine when you get there.
No. Sometimes I can ask the promoter and they'll let me know. But sometimes they're like, just come and we'll let you know when you're here. So it'll be someone. But
just drive for 12 hours and then see what happens when you get here.
Yeah. I get to train with Karahat on the way up, which I'm really excited about. So I'll be seeing him on Monday.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll finish on our way up. I'm very happy that he's like stationed at a gym now, so I kind of know where he is. He would always come and meet me anywhere at Chart Chai's gym or anything like that, but him being at this gym I think is kind of a stabilizing thing for what he's doing. So
what gym is he at now? Is it that corner gym?
Yeah, it's corner gym, which the first time I went there was with Diesel Noi and it was still under construction.
Yeah.
It's actually a really, really nice gym. Like the kind of open front of it is, for me, it has a nice airflow. Karahat was complaining about how hot it was. But it's kind of like a ritzy clientele. Like it's this middle class, clientele that he's teaching like beginner classes and stuff like that, which to me is funny, but I think that he's fine having, not a whole lot of pressure on him for what he has to do. But they have they have three trainers there now. They have a guy from Kyusumrit, they have Karahat, and then they hired a girl from Grungtep Tonburi, who was a bronze medalist 2 years in a row for the Thai games. I can't remember her name, but she's super, like, her forearms are insanely big. She's like this Tom who's really tough, and I was really excited that she was from Grungtep Tonburi, because I like those girls, so I like that they have
a... The way you describe her makes her sound like Popeye.
She's a little bit like Popeye. She's got these like super square hands and then like these huge forearms
with like anchors tattooed on them and stuff.
maybe I'll bring her some spinach as a gift. I don't know.
I have a student named Popeye, actually.
Is it after the food or after Popeye, do you think?
It's a girl and it is after the cartoon, because I asked her.
Why not sweet pea or olive oil? I guess those are harder to say.
I don't know. It's not even the weirdest nickname I have with my students. There's a new one every week.
I liked French fries. Didn't you have French fries because the mom craved them or something?
Yeah. I have a new student called Party.
Oh, Emma, please go download the Eddie Murphy song My Girl Wants to Party All the Time and teach it to your student. It will be epic.
Okay.
Do you even know that song?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's awful. You have to get it. It's so good.
Okay.
Who knew Eddie Murphy had a recording career? All right. Cool. All right, I'm going to turn this off. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Two Ladies in the Kingdom as we reintroduce our podcast at the end. Or skip. I don't know. All right.